Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I want to start today by taking us back to the smoggy, industrial streets of 19th century Bristol, England. There was a man named George Mueller. If you know his story, you know he was a bit of a character. Former thief turned pastor who ended up running orphanages. Between 1836 and 1892, Mueller cared for over 10,000 orphans. But here's the detail that always, just stops me in my tracks. In 56 years, he never once directly asked a human being for money. Not once. He didn't send out fundraising letters. He didn't make appeals from the pulpit. Instead, he cultivated a secret life of prayer. He took the needs, which were massive, directly to the Lord, trusting that if this was God's work, God would fund it. And the stories of provision are staggering. A woman offering her professional skills for free, a couple donating their entire household of furniture just when the orphanage expanded. Mueller lived in this rhythm of dependence, waiting on God, believing that God uses ordinary people to do his extraordinary work. And that story of provision brings us to the passage we're talking about today. We're going back about 3,000 years before Mueller to a field in the ancient Near East, looking at the story of Ruth. Now, to really feel the weight of this, you have to remember that Ruth was a Moabitess. You can find this story and maybe follow along in Ruth chapter 2. But she wasn't just a widow. She was an outsider from a nation that had a painful, oppressive history with Israel. She's marginalized in every sense of the word, ethnically, socially, economically. She is vulnerable in that culture. A woman without male protection in a field was in genuine danger. But Ruth had anchored herself to the God of Israel. And what we're about to read is how God answers her faith, not with lightning from the sky, but through the character of a man named Boaz. Now, you can read in greater detail Ruth chapter 2 if you have a Bible with you and can go through verses 1 through 12. Maybe you need to press pause right now to read that and come back. But as you read through the passage, there is so much beauty. You might have picked up on that phrase that, you know, she just happened to come. The writer uses that ironically. In the economy of God's grace, there are no accidents. Ruth stumbles into the field of Boaz, a man who didn't just follow the rules. He embodied the very heartbeat of God. See, the law said that the landowners had to leave corners of the field for the poor. It was a kind of a system, a safety net system built into the harvest, a welfare built into the harvest process for ancient Israel. It was a process called gleaning. But Boaz goes even farther than what the Torah had commanded. He offers protection. He offers water. He treats the outsider like a daughter. In fact, that's what he calls Ruth, if you read closely. He becomes the physical hands of God's providence. He is the miracle Ruth and Naomi were praying for. Now, I think we need to take a moment and not just listen to a nice story, but I think this ought to provoke us to prayer. So let's take a moment to pray this up. And I want to guide us through three specific postures of prayer today. You can pray these silently where you're at. You can just kind of agree with me as I pray this along, or press pause after each one. Maybe you want to echo what I say and add your own voice, your own petitions to this. First, we need to ask for vision. Psalm 145 says, "The eyes of all look to you in hope. You, God, give them their food as they need it." Often, we are so hurried, so consumed by our own schedules, we simply don't see the need standing right in front of us. Father, we confess that we walk through life with blinders on. We ask you now to give us your eyes. Help us see the single mom who's barely holding it together, or the neighbor who is profoundly lonely, or the family relying on the food pantry. Lord, shatter our indifference. Show us who is looking to you for survival, and show us how we might be the instrument of your care. Second, we need to pray for generosity that costs us something. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8 about the Macedonian church, saying they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. See, it's easy for you and I to give freely out of our excess, but it is much harder to give when we feel stretched ourselves. Heavenly Father, I confess that I often get scared. I look at my own bank account, my own energy levels, and I want to hold on to what I have. I want to build bigger barns, more storehouses. But you are the God of abundance. Remind us, remind me, that we are merely stewards of your resources. Give us the grace to open our hands, even when it feels risky, trusting that you are the one who fills them. Finally, let's pray for availability. Remember Peter in Acts chapter 3? He said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you." Lord, forgive us for thinking we need to be wealthy or powerful to make a difference. Save us from the bystander effect, thinking someone else will handle it, whether it's money, time, or just the ability to listen. Help us to offer what we actually have. Use our ordinary lives to bring your extraordinary hope to our city. Amen. As we lead into the rest of our day, let's take a minute to talk about how we can live it out. When we think about providence and miracles, we often think of, you know, Jesus' story of feeding the 5,000 in John chapter 6, like, which is a massive miracle. But do you remember the pivot point in that story in John 6? It wasn't a lightning bolt. It was a boy's lunch. It was a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. It was ordinary food packed by a mom, carried by a kid. But because that boy was willing to hand this over to Jesus, it became the source of satisfaction for thousands. I think we often freeze up because we think our contribution is too small to matter. We think, like, I can't solve poverty. I can't fix the housing crisis in our city. I can't fix somebody else's marriage. And, like, in one sense, we're right. You can't. But you and I aren't the Messiah. You and I were just that kid with a lunch. Jesus is the one who does the multiplying. He wants you to hand over what you have. So here's your assignment for today. I want you to make a mental or physical list of your, you know, quote unquote, five loaves. What are five things you currently have in your possession that could meet someone else's need? Maybe it's a car that sits empty that could provide transportation. Maybe it's a skill or how you can fix drywall or edit a resume. Maybe it's a spare room. Maybe it is margin in your schedule to cook a double batch of dinner for a neighbor. Maybe it's just the financial margin to buy grocery gift cards. Identify your five loaves and memorize that list. And then watch. Watch for the next time a need pops up in your life group or at the office or just down the street. And when it does, you don't have to hesitate. Remember, you don't have to save the world. You just have to offer your loaf. Boaz didn't know he was part of a story that would lead to King David and eventually to Jesus. He just knew Ruth was hungry and he had grain. So today, let's go and do likewise. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.